Om namo Parvati Vasudevaya.
Om namo Parvati Vasudevaya.
Om namo Parvati Vasudevaya.
Tena dita shutigana no pasita mahatamaha avata tapta tapasa matsangan mam upagata Tena dita shutigana no pasita mahatamaha Avata tapta tapasa matsangan mam upagata.
Translation and purport.
The persons I have mentioned did not undergo serious studies of the Vedic literatures, nor did they worship great saintly persons, nor did they execute severe vows or austerities. Simply by association with me and my devotees, they achieved me.
Purport. Study of the Vedic literature.
Worship of those who teach the Shruti mantras, acceptance of vows and austerities, etc., as mentioned previously, are helpful processes that please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this verse, however, the Lord again explains that all such processes are secondary to the essential process of associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead
and His pure devotees.
By other processes, one may gain the association of the Lord and His devotees, which will actually give the perfection of life. The word matsangat can also be read as sat
sangat,
with the same meaning. In the reading matsangat from association with me,
mat is also understood to indicate those who are mine,
or the devotees. Srila Sridhara Swami mentions that a pure devotee can advance in Krishna consciousness by his own association, since simply by associating with his own activities and consciousness, he associates with the Lord. Even if we have not been fortunate, if we haven't taken a good birth, because of our past material entanglement, we have taken an unfit birth and have not performed what are normally the preliminary activities of Vedic purification, performing sacrifice, studying the Vedas, undergoing austerity, tapas. This word tapas is sometimes misunderstood. It doesn't necessarily mean undergoing pain. Although the word comes from tap, and we think of tapta, you know, burning hot. From the verb tap, to be radiant or to be hot.
Fire.
That's what fire does, tapati. But it is not just the idea of pain, and tapas is not necessarily austerity, or, you know, it's hard to give an English, proper English word to it. Austerity. You think of austere as you have no property, you're living in a room with no furniture, you know, you're eating only plain rice, you know. No masala. You know, that's austerity.
Yeah.
No opulence. So the word is not exactly what tapas means. And penance. Penance means you committed some sin and you're apologizing, you're performing atonement for it. I'm a great sinner and I'm very sorry. But that's not really the idea of tapas either. Lord Brahma, at the beginning of creation, performed tapas. But he wasn't a sinner. He wasn't performing atonement for some crime he had performed. He wasn't experiencing great pain. So what was his tapas? And we even read in the Chandogya Upanishad that the Supreme Lord created by tapas. So Lord Vishnu, what kind of tapas did he perform? He didn't do anything wrong. And he doesn't have to undergo, you know, to give things up. Does he have to renounce the goddess of fortune and perform that kind of austerity? He has to take sannyas? Of course, in his appearance as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord performs his leela of taking sannyas. But he's never actually separated from the goddess of fortune. She is his eternal consort, even if he puts on saffron. So, what is tapas anyway then? If Lord Brahma and even the Supreme Personality of Godhead are creating on the strength of tapas. So the word means intense concentration. Just like the heat and light of the sun are very intense radiation. So the concentration of one who is meditating very intently on accomplishing some goal, that is tapas. Intense focusing of one's attention, that is tapas. So we can understand how the Supreme Lord and Lord Brahma perform tapas. They concentrate their minds very deeply on what the work at hand. For Brahma to succeed at creating, he has to focus his attention. For doing anything that is important and difficult, anybody must concentrate his attention. So nothing of importance is achieved in this world without tapas, austerity. Now, the English word is not so fitting, but the Sanskrit word is tapas. When Brahma was in doubt how to begin creating, he tried to find the source of his birth, and he could not find it. He was finally frustrated and sat to try to meditate. And then the Supreme Lord revealed himself in a voice in the sky, and only two syllables were pronounced. Vichinvito, ittam vichin, okay, anyway. Upashra no dvirgaritam vicho vibuhu. Sparsheshu yat shodasham. Ekavimshat. Nishkinchinanam nipayad danam viduhu. Brahma, sitting and trying to figure out what to do, heard these two syllables in the sky. Among the 25 sparsha sounds, beginning with kakara, ending with makara, those 25 consonants, he heard number 16 and number 21. 16th sparsha in the tavarga is the letter ta. And the 21st in the pavarga is the letter pa. So he heard ta, pa. And Brahma could understand what that meant. Why? He was just born. Does a newborn baby know what the two syllables tapa means? Not if he's covered by ignorance. But actually, everybody has knowledge in his heart. Only when we're covered over by the mode of ignorance, that knowledge is forgotten. Brahma was not born in ignorance. He was able to understand, even at his birth, even at the beginning of his life. He heard the words tapa, and he knew what that meant for him, that he should sit and meditate and concentrate his mind very carefully. And he did. For 1,000 earth years, for 1,000 years of the human beings, he meditated very deeply. For 1,000 years of the demigods, rather. And then the Lord revealed himself fully and gave him complete instructions how to create and empowered him. Don't worry, go ahead, you will not be affected by the lower modes, and I will give you all intelligence. Lord Narayan blessed him. And so Brahma was able to create on the strength of tapas. But we're maybe unfortunate, we don't have much power of tapas. For us, to just barely follow the four regulative principles may be a great austerity. To chant 16 rounds a day of Krishna's names is great tapas. To simply get up early in the morning before the sunrise is tapas. Austerity, difficult practice. We're not great yogis, nor have we studied much of the Vedas, nor have we performed many Vedic rituals, sacrifices, at least not in this life. But what saves us is that we get the association of Krishna's pure devotees. And getting that association of pure devotees makes it unnecessary to have any of these other qualifications. Everything is accomplished just by that association. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastre Koi. Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoi. If we just get even a moment's association with pure devotees, then our perfection is guaranteed. So Krishna is giving these instructions to Uddhava. Simply by association with me and my devotees, they achieved me. And Sridhar Swami mentions that a pure devotee's association is so valuable. Even if he has no one else to associate with, his own association is purifying. Because he's always with Krishna. A pure devotee is always accompanied by the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord reveals himself, especially when the devotee chants Krishna's names in love. Narada Muni says describes his own experience. Pragayatak Svaviryani Tirtapada Shuchishvavaha Ahuta Ivame Shigram Darshanam Yati Chetasi. As soon as I simply vibrate Krishna's name, Krishna appears to me. He's dancing on my tongue, as if he were my servant and I was calling him, demanding him to do some service. He appears immediately, as soon as I vibrate his name. So the pure devotee is never without Krishna's association, so therefore he's never alone. Even if he's in a secluded, in a place where there's no one else to associate with. He's always secure, and he's always in good company, because he's in Krishna's company. And then when devotees can be with one another, then it is much better. Because devotees see Krishna within each other's hearts. When Vidura returned from his pilgrimage and he was greeted by the Kurus, of course, most of the men were dead in the battle.
Mostly the women were there, the widows. But Yudhishthir was there. His brothers were there. The one son of Dhritarashtra who survived. What's his name? Yuyutsu. He was the son of Avaishya. The other wife of Dhritarashtra, who was a Vaishya lady. So he didn't fight. He wasn't a Kshatriya. So he survived the battle. Yuyutsu. And a few brahmanas were there. Kripacharya, Domya Rishi, they were present. And the women were present. So Yudhishthir, in this association, in this company, Vidura had just returned. He told Vidura, Bhavadvida Bhagavata Tirti Bhuta Swayam Vibho Prabho Tirti Kuravanti Tirtani Swantakstina Gadabrita. You have gone to all the holy places because you were driven out of the house by Duryodhan, so you decided to go on pilgrimage. It wasn't really for your own good. It was for the good of the holy places. Great saintly devotees like you are yourselves walking tirthas. You are holy places yourselves. And you, when you go to the holy places, you sanctify them. Ordinary people come to take bath in the tirtha. They leave their sinful reactions. And although the holy places like Ganga are all purifying, still these reactions of many, many sinful people build up and the place becomes contaminated. So when the holy saintly devotees come to these places, they wash away and revive, wash away the sinful reactions and revive the purity of the holy places. And the reason given by Yudhishthira is because you're carrying Lord Krishna, who was carrying his club. You're carrying Krishna in your heart. So wherever you go, that's a holy place of pilgrimage. When devotees meet one another, therefore, they're very much enlivened. Or at least they should be. According to Vishnu Dharmotara Purana, there are various offenses against Vaishnavas described. So one offense you can commit against Vaishnavas, darshanena harshanam. If you see the face of a Vaishnava and you're not glad, you're not happy to see a Vaishnav. You're thinking, oh no, not him. And you're displeased to see a particular Vaishnav, that is aparad against that Vaishnav. Just simply in the mental, if you're not happy to see the Vaishnav. So we should practice to avoid this offense. We should always try to feel the right thing, to be happy, to be glad, to get the associations of Vaishnavas whenever we can. By that association, we please Krishna. If you can please a Vaishnava, then you're pleasing Krishna. Even if you meet a Vaishnava against whom you have some bad feelings, what is the best thing to do in relationship to that devotee? Practical recommendation is go out of your way to do some service for that devotee. You have some bad feelings, go out of your way to render some service. That will purify you of that envy. Anyway, Krishna's recommending as the most potent process of devotional service, simply to take advantage of the opportunity to be with, to hear from, and to give service to Krishna's devotees. Okay, so I'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Mother? Avoid. Okay, you're asking how should we avoid Vaishnavas who are committing offenses against gurus? Or offenses against other Vaishnavas, yeah. But particularly, okay, you see guru, maybe your own guru is being offended. Well, Krishneti yasya giritam manasadvieta. If anybody is chanting Krishna's name, you should respect him, but within the mind. You should, a person, especially a person who is offending your own guru, you have to avoid that person. You should not hear the offense. Not even third hand. You shouldn't even hear it. You should avoid such people and avoid hearing what they have to say. So if you can't, if you're not allowed or not supposed to hear what they're saying, then you should not come close to the person. If you come close to someone, you're going to hear what they have to say. So you should avoid. But still, basic attitude of respect. This person is seriously mistaken and he's committing the serious mistake of offending my spiritual master. But he's a Vaishnav. Krishna will correct. Whatever punishment has to be exerted will be done by Krishna. It's not for us to do. So still one should maintain respect from a distance for any Vaishnav. Vaishnavs are different than other people. Demons you can be angry at. Demoniac, envious people. Materialistic people. But Vaishnavs we should always respect. Well, the principle should apply. Whatever is wrong, Krishna will correct. We should trust that Krishna has the power to do it. And if he's hesitating, if it seems like, why doesn't Krishna take care of it right now? That's Krishna's pleasure. He has his lila, and things have evolved the way they do. The Pandavas were wondering why Krishna tolerated all the offenses of the Kurus. Bhima, in particular, was ready to kill them all immediately. But Yudhishthira was more patient. He reminded Bhima that Krishna is taking his sweet time. He will deal with the Kurus, when he's ready. And everything will be properly adjusted. Justice will be done. So it always is. But Krishna has his own way and his own time of doing things. Okay? Yes.
If somebody likes Prabhupada and not his Vaishnava devotees, what kind of devotee is he?
A foolish devotee. He's Kanishtadikari, the lowest denomination of devotee. Archayam eva hareye, pujam yakshariye hite. Someone who comes, well, the lower than that is someone who doesn't appreciate Prabhupada, and he just appreciates Krishna. He comes and he sees the deity of Krishna and bows down, leaves 10 pice or something, offering, and then lets everybody know how devoted he is, makes a show of it, and ignores or is even disrespectful to the devotees, then that's about as low as you can get and still be some sort of Vaishnav. If someone has respect for Prabhupada, but not for his disciples, not for ISKCON, so we have devotees nowadays who are followers of Prabhupada, who became Vaishnavs by the mercy of Prabhupada, and they've given up on ISKCON. ISKCON is just too much for them, and they've left it. There are devotees nowadays in that category. So they're less fortunate. Their faith is not as strong. And then there are outsiders who appreciate, people who have never joined ISKCON, who just see from the outside, they appreciate Prabhupada, but they don't think much of his followers. That means they don't fully appreciate Prabhupada. To fully appreciate Prabhupada is to have confidence that the mission, the institution that he founded, has spiritual potency, has a mission. Prabhupada has invested his desire in ISKCON. In one form or another, ISKCON will carry out the desire of Prabhupada, one way or another. So to have full faith means to be confident of that. That Prabhupada's disciples, for all their imperfections, and they may even be committing offenses against one another and against other people, but when Prabhupada is pleased with someone by his attempt to do some service for Krishna, then that person gets Prabhupada's blessings and empowerment. So our devotees may be imperfect, but if they're empowered by Prabhupada, we have to respect that. Or we should. Hare Krishna. Okay, anything else? Okay. Yes, yes, okay. Yes, please. Yes.
And so
he's our guru.
Then why
there
is need of accepting any other
guru? Srila Prabhupada is your Shikshu Guru. You're getting divine instruction from him. Srila Prabhupada is a representative of Rupa Goswami, the original Prabhupada. And Rupa Goswami has instructed us in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that we should take diksha, we should take initiation and receive the Vaishnav mantra from a spiritual master. So we have to accept a diksha guru in order to carry out the order of Rupa Goswami. You cannot take diksha from the spiritual master who has already departed. You have to take diksha from a spiritual master who is living. So you can take your shiksha from Prabhupada, but you'll have to accept diksha from somebody else. If you don't want to take diksha, you can try to serve Krishna, and you can try to study Srila Prabhupada's instructions. But Krishna may or may not accept your service. If you take initiation, then Krishna promises to accept your service. Jai Shri Jagannath Paladev Subhadra Shri Gornitai. Almost here, I say. Okay, so thank you all. Glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.